the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're talking to everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and work-at-home mom who would love to devote more time to creative writing and journaling.
And I'm Abigail Krebs, the writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm living my creative life nights and weekends after I get home from my full-time job at an ad agency.
And you're listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Chasing Creative Podcast. Today we are chatting with Amy Lynn Hayes. Amy has played with wearing many hats over the years, artist, designer, blogger, freelance journalist. But at the root of all of this lies two things, a passion for travel and a creative, free-spirited soul. She now combines all of the above as a creative director for a luxury travel company headquartered in Miami, Florida, with 43 additional offices in 34 countries around the world. So welcome to the podcast, Amy. We usually kick things off with just having you tell us a little bit about where you're at now and how you kind of wound up there. Not everybody has a very straight path to their dream job.
Definitely. I can say that mine has been, total opposite of straight, if you will, and kind of stumble upon everything on accident rather than following a plan. I never could have planned having moved back to Florida and then ending up working in more of a corporate world, but in the travel industry. So yes, I'm the creative director for a travel company called Overseas Leisure Group. We have four brands underneath that. It's B2B wholesale. So we work specifically with travel agents. So we're like the travel agent's travel agent. So super insider. Yeah, which is really awesome. And it's all built on a network of 43 offices all around the world. We have different headquarters in different regions. And so we're dealing with international itineraries, VIP clients, everything like all day, every day. So I get to live vicariously through a lot of the stuff I do since I'm now in the office. But yeah, that I ended up with that position because I had moved to Fort Lauderdale and was just up one night wondering how I was going to pay my new bills. and I found this ad on just Media Bistro or one of the job boards that catered more towards journalists. And just totally applied on a whim. Didn't think I was going to get it. It was on a Friday night. I'm like, no one's going to see it. It's a Friday night. And by Monday, I had the interview. Wednesday, second interview. Next week, had the offer. So,
wow.
Yeah. It just kind of fell into my lap. And it all kind of came about from a combination of experimenting over the years. Interior design is what my degree's in. Fine art as well. Then I went into graphic design because it was more location independent. Got into blogging, got into freelance journalism through that, and it's all of that that got me this position as the creative director because I kind of spearhead their blogging efforts, online presence, social media, and basically everything that you do for a blog, but now for a corporate world.
Well, that is amazing how all of those different things kind of led you to this one dream job, you've called it before. So do you remember a time when you first fell in love with travel?
Oh, my family did reunions every year. And like, I remember always traveling to see both my mom's side and my dad's side. My mom's side used to do week-long family reunions in the mountains in Wyoming. So we'd go to a dude ranch, and I was really into horses. I grew up training horses. So I would jump on the back of a horse and be riding through the mountains like as much as I could. We started that when we were I was probably 8 years old. I remember doing a cruise to Alaska when I was younger than that, going out to Nebraska and Minnesota with my dad's family and Colorado with them as well. So basically everything that was anti-Florida or the opposite of Florida, my family was like, we live at the beach, we don't vacation at the beach. So we would head off to the mountains. And so that's probably why it left a bigger impression on me than if we had just popped over to the coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all of that, like love of travel and everything, eventually combined, as you sort of said, to turn into you running your own blog and eventually doing travel writing and like travel journalism. So how did that get started and what was your goal in that whole process?
Oh, that's another thing I backed into. What started the international travel was I was in college and I did a spring break study abroad trip to London. And that was my first trip overseas. We did, it was a theater-based trip. So we saw like 9 plays in 7 days in all different theaters all around the city. And I just loved it. And then did another study abroad. Yeah, it was really awesome. did a study abroad in Edinburgh, Scotland for 2 weeks one summer, then a month abroad. And it just kind of all stacked on top. I did a year in school in London, then I did 3 years in Paris, and all of this was all for design and creative. And when Paris chapter kind of came to an end and I couldn't renew my visa, I ended up in Australia, and I was working with a boutique interior design firm in Melbourne, this quirky little neighborhood called Balaclava by St. Kilda, which is the beachy area. Really cool neighborhood, lots of really great creative things going on there. And it was when I got back from Australia once again because my visa expired. And I was getting really tired of my visas expiring at this point. So that's really the reason why I moved around so much, because I couldn't renew my visas. But I got back to Florida and I was like, all right, I need to do something and trying to stay in design. So the whole reason that I started the blog was to create an online portfolio for design work. Mm-hmm. And so I if you go back to my very, very early posts or some of my like student projects, other art related things, it's far more creative. And then I just found myself drifting towards talking about my travels. And it literally took me a year to realize that, hey, travel's the thing that combines it all. So there was no awareness or plan at all. Like, I totally backed into being a travel blogger just by blogging about my life. And now I look back, I'm like, actually, that probably is my number one skill and passion, and the one connector of it all is that I was always traveling. But yeah, it, I guess it takes hindsight's 20/20. When you're in it, you're like, I'm a designer. Like, yeah, oh.
That's so funny how I think a lot of creative people have that same experience where they can't quite connect the dots and see the patterns in their own life. Yes. They just feel like they're all over the place, and then they look back like 10 years later or something and they're like, oh, it did all add up.
Right. That's why I always got the best grades in my English class growing up. I was supposed to be a writer. So yeah, 'cause that's the other thing I backed into. I found an internship for a local magazine group here in South Florida, and I was doing my blog. I was taking a certificate in graphic design so that I could design my blog, and I was thinking about doing some freelance graphic design work to be more location independent. I applied for an internship with a magazine so that I could up my writing skills for the blog, and then they kept me. I got the internship for 4 months, very intense. Do a lot of like the editorial proofreading and fact checking. And then at the end of it, they kept me on. And that was about 3 years ago now. So
wow.
Didn't plan that one. It just kind of worked out. Yeah.
It happens so often that the things that you need just kind of come along when you need them. And I know Ashley and I have both noticed that in our own creative lives and creative careers. So through all of this, I mean, that's a lot of transitions in a fairly short amount of time. Mm-hmm. How did you balance the need to kind of work on your own blog and your own creative projects while still taking on enough projects to pay your bills?
Yes. During that time, like when I came back from Australia, I moved back home to my parents' place because I hadn't had a permanent address in the States since 2007. And I came back from Australia in 2013. So I didn't own any stuff. I sold it all. So I was like, all right, we're going home now. And so I didn't have like a huge amount of bills that I had to worry about every month. I still worked for an interior designer in town. So that's kind of what mm-hmm. I did on the day. I worked for her part-time. I went to the community college for my graphic design classes. And then I did a lot of work for free as your portfolio building period mm-hmm. that we all have. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very familiar.
Yes. Yes. So, but that was when, and I stayed at home for a while till I kind of decided, all right, I got to do something, because I'm from a very small town and it's a charming small town, but it's not the easiest place to strike up a freelance creative career. So I was looking for a bigger pool to play in, so to speak. And mm-hmm. Because the magazine group was based in Fort Lauderdale and up here, your territory is pretty much all of South Florida. You've got Miami and the Keys. You're close enough to Palm Beach and Delray to kind of have that whole whole coast as your where you can get material from. So I moved down this way, and then that's when I had, like, I had rent now. So I was like, okay, now we got to get serious. And, yeah, I was still, I had an idea for an online retail shop, and I was working on that, and I was like, oh, maybe I can find a part-time job in the meantime just till I can get things going. And, again, like, totally applied for this current position on a whim at, like, yeah, I was sitting at my aunt's table up in Alabama because I was visiting for some, my sister's getting married and she's doing some planning, and I was sitting at my aunt's table. I hadn't heard back from another job interview I'd had. I'd made it to the second interview process, and then, you know, you get the famous, you know, cricket silence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, I guess I'll just apply for this one and just whatever. And yeah, that's, it just worked out. Like 2 weeks later I started. So.
Yeah, it just worked out. That could be like the motto of so many yeah. creative people.
I know.
Like, that's what we should be hanging on our wall in our office. Like, it just works yeah. out.
Well, I think that ability to be open-minded to the possibilities mm-hmm. and not like pitching. Like I said, I've tried everything. Social media, design, interiors, like, the whole range of the design, everything. And as long as you're still experimenting and still trying to move forward in some way, the thing that sticks might not necessarily be what you originally thought that you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I experimented loads. Like, I was going to write books, and I was going to launch online courses. And I looked at everything just to try to find a way to blend, like, the creative with the travel and being a bit location independent, because I do like to bounce around a bit. Mm-hmm. And I do get to travel with this job, and I've done some pretty cool things that way. So, yeah, it does tend to fall together when you leave yourself open to the possibilities.
Yeah, it sounds like it does. What kind of tips do you have for creative people who'd like to travel while they pursue a career? And this can be tips like, you know, don't sign a lease with somebody. It could be a tip like, this is the best internet service provider or cell phone company to go with. I mean, any yeah. of that kind of stuff, like just the biggies that no one really talks about.
I think... And this is from my experience. Like, it's definitely about trade-offs. Like, when I was in my building period, I was home for probably, like, a year, if not more. Maybe a little more. Like, I turned 30 at home. Mm-hmm. I was like, this wasn't how I planned it. But this was my chance. You know, I'd done so many amazing things. It wasn't, like, you know, a huge thing. But, so, yeah, it's all about trade-offs. Like, if you want to travel, then you might not be able to, you know, go shopping every mm-hmm. weekend with your friends. I definitely don't do much shopping. I use YNAB, You Need a Budget, and I really section everything out onto what I'm willing to spend money on and what I'm not, so that I can put it all in a travel fund. Or just kind of that way I'm really intentional with how I spend my money. The other thing I would say is that if you can find a skill, like a specific skill that seems to resonate best, like for me, interior design, like I always seem to hit resistance. It just wasn't going to work. But the writing, I enjoyed as well, and I wasn't getting as much resistance. I was getting a lot more traction with it. And so you don't need to wear all the hats professionally. You can try them all on and see what fits best. But when you find one, focus on that and go for that, because you'll have a skill that somebody needs. And you're much more marketable if you can be known for that one skill, at least to start, mm-hmm. and then maybe diversify later, but mm-hmm. so you get like a solid client base.
Yeah, I think that's very true, because I know there's a lot of creative entrepreneurs out there who are specifically pursuing freelancing because they want that location independence that you've talked about. And I think a lot of them find themselves sort of getting sucked into like the grind of their everyday business and just trying to keep it running. And they eventually just don't see how they can get to that point where they started in the first place, that goal of being able to travel and work from anywhere around the world. So do you have any tips for anybody who feels like they're a little bit stuck in their freelancing or in their business, or who just doesn't know how to quite make that leap to start their location independence?
Again, I think it's a trade-off. Like for me, I knew like with the writing, like it was all dependent on what I could produce personally. And so if you start to do the math in your head, like you'd have to write a lot of articles to, mm-hmm. to make your living, which you can do if that's what you want to do. Pitch as much as you possibly can. Like whatever's taking up, if you got X amount of energy in your day and you got to spend it somehow, like $100, like if you divide your energy up into $100, how would you spend the money, the energy. Like, if you want to be a writer, maybe you'd put $60 in the pitching section of your day or whatever, so that you're, whatever you're putting the most of your energy on, you're going to get the greatest returns. If you're spending all your energy answering emails or trying to chase down clients that aren't really like a great match for you, then you're probably not going to get your return on time. And my interest, which again comes full circle with the interior design, if I launched a retail store, then I was no longer responsible for producing all of it, but I can curate and then connect. And I was like, so that, again, like, yeah, even when you're on the road, you've got to be sitting in one place to get your work done. That's just the reality. So it's location independent. It's not Instagram, you know, feed worthy all the time. But you do, I think the thing to focus on is that you're still going to be working really hard during the day. Like, I probably worked, I worked weeks, weekends. Like, I remember being up at family events and my siblings would be going out. I'm like, no, I've got a blog post to do. Like, it was trade-offs, but it was on my terms. So now I kind of, yes, I want to travel around, all that kind of stuff, but more it's about choosing what I'm, how I'm spending my time on my terms.
That is a very important distinction, because I feel like when people talk about location independence, they are picturing that Instagram, you know, like perfectly curated lifestyle where maybe they'll get up and work for 2 hours and then they'll just go wander the city. And so that sort of brings me to my that brings me to my next question, which is, when you are in these amazing other places, how did you have that discipline to sit down and get the work done instead of just wandering off and seeing the sights and never actually doing any work?
For me, it's being in the new places that like inspires me to get things done. So sitting in different cafes, or like I did right before I started this full-time job, and I had moved into my apartment. I think I was in Europe for like 5 weeks or so, and I did a little relaunch of my blog, but I was working every day that I was there, and I was visiting friends. I was in, I can't remember, like 4 or 5 different countries. I was just visiting a lot of my old friends that live there. But I like slow travel. So I would do my thing during the day, and then in the evenings we'd drink wine or go out to dinner or do whatever, but it's just soaking up that atmosphere. And I think for me, the satisfaction comes from not being the visitor, but you're really tapping into the lifestyle of the place there when you are getting your stuff done. And I don't know. I think too, when you're doing something that feels right and you're not getting that resistance that's so discouraging, then it doesn't really feel like work. Like, you're doing stuff, but and you're busy, but you're not really, it's not that soul sucking busy if I've just got to tick these things off the list.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. And I agree with both of you. I think everyone's like, oh, I'll be like location independent and I'll just, you know, sip coffee in cafes around the world and, you know, return emails at my leisure, when like sometimes it's probably actually I'm in a $60 a night hotel and I'm just cranking out these articles right now because that's what I can afford and that's what I have to do.
Oh yeah. Like when that same trip, like I stayed with some friends in Spain. I stayed at a friend's house in Bordeaux. Like the majority of the places that I went, I didn't pay for accommodations. I could go for like 5 days if that was the case, but yeah, I was in Paris and like some of my friends already had people in town. So I stayed at a hostel and it's like, I still sat down in the cafeteria there and I got my work done during the day because it was what I wanted to do. And some people say, oh, you're missing Paris, but not really. Like this the cafe culture, that is Paris. So yeah, I think it's, again, like social media, we all show the highlights, and I've definitely been on those amazing trips where we're posting, like creating, churning out content, and it looks amazing. It was an amazing experience, but even when you're doing that and you're living the moment and you're creating all these like beautiful posts, that it's work. It's not just, oh, let me just flip my hair and this is perfect, and you know, like you're like logging in and out of different accounts. Your hashtags get deleted. You got to write the caption because, you know, your Wi-Fi cut out while you're trying to post. Like, there's a reality to it that probably needs a bit more publicity. But it's kind of fun, though, because I like the collaborative nature of things like that. Like, if I'm doing a press trip or something, I like to do it in a group because I think it really fuels that creative vibe.
Cool. You have probably been on more plane rides than you can count. I imagine you've not kept a tally. So
no, and
I didn't get any miles either. Oh. I was so bad about that.
Oh, Amy, that makes me cry for you.
I know. I'm a creative. I don't know this number games. I'm just not good at it.
Oh, bummer. So, okay, miles aside, just for fun, what are like three items you take on every plane ride? Do you have a must-take list?
I always have my iPad because I have all of my books on there. Like, saves so much weight.
Oh, yeah.
Noise-canceling headphones and an eye mask. And I have a system. I have a glass of wine, especially if it's an overnight flight. You have one glass of wine before you board the plane. As soon as you hit your seat, I take a melatonin, not Tylenol PM, because it gives me the, like, restless leg syndrome that's super annoying on a flight. I'll take one melatonin. And then I will have one glass of wine with the dinner service, and I will sleep the entire way.
Oh, nice. That's amazing.
So, yeah. That's it works like a charm every single time.
System that works for you.
Yeah. Yes. It's been honed over the time. Now, coming back, that's a bit of a problem because it's always over the daylight hours. Right. So I haven't quite figured out how to how to sort that one out to sleep because I don't sleep when it's light.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have no problem sleeping when it's light out. I just don't want to sleep on planes if I'm sitting next to a stranger. I have weird.
Oh, yeah.
That just makes me weirded out. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I always go for the window seat so that I don't, if I can. Yeah. If it's a night flight, I do window. If it's the day flight, I do the aisle so I can get up and walk around whenever I'm bored.
Good plan. Good plan. See, you know exactly how it works. So are there any like must-have tools or like, I don't know, apps or something that you take with that help you with your creative work while you're traveling around or on a flight?
I do a lot with Evernote. Like, I'm a big fan of lists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just to keep, I'm probably the most organized person ever. Like, I have lists for everything. I just I like it, and ticking them off, even if it's like the most menial thing, it just gives me like satisfaction. So Evernote I use.
I call Evernote my digital brain, so I completely understand.
Yeah, even if you're just sitting on a flight or on a train and you're writing out captions for Instagram posts, you can copy paste them later. Thing is, when I'm overseas, like, you don't often have internet. Yeah, it's getting a bit better. Like, London's got a lot more hotspots. Paris is getting some, but it's not always guaranteed. So I tend to not use apps when I'm traveling because I can't.
How do you deal with the internet situation when you're working overseas and you might not necessarily have reliable Wi-Fi or any Wi-Fi at all?
Right. It is getting better, like, when you're in accommodations. And this is, like, the worst trick ever, but go to McDonald's. It has Wi-Fi every single time. Even if you just stand by the door and you connect and you're like, you know, pretend you're waiting for somebody and you're like checking email. I've done that quite a few times because it's everywhere you go. McDonald's will have
they
Wi-Fi.
They are reliable.
Often Starbucks. They're consistent in what they offer. Yeah. So yeah, that's a bit of a trick. I do, because I do all my writing, if I have blog posts or so, I can do my writing in a Word doc and then upload it later, all the pictures, anything that I can do offline, and then just pop it up online when I have connection. And pre-scheduling, like co-schedule and all those things, those are lifesavers when you're out on the road.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think Evernote, too, you can save to your, like, your phone or whatever, you can save a local copy, and then it will upload as soon as you get on Wi-Fi. I think that's what I found out. So
yeah,
also handy.
Yeah, because they're, I think apps and developers are, they know that that's a problem when for people that are bouncing around. I think people are traveling more now because the digital age has allowed us to. And so yeah, there's things that will. I've even heard, like, is it Instagram that you can upload? You can upload posts and it'll post once you get back to internet or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Somebody told me that, but I don't know if it just saves as a draft and you have to go back in the app, and like, you can't obviously use the app, but I'm not sure. I remember somebody mentioning that, but
interesting.
I have yet to discover.
Yeah, that would be cool to look into because I'm not a huge Instagram user yet, so I definitely don't know the answer to that, but that would be good to know for sure if that's something people can do while they're offline.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So as much as we could talk travel probably all day long, you know, for years you traveled and supported yourself through writing and interior design. And then this last year you made the switch to settle down and you rented an apartment in Fort Lauderdale there in Florida. So what prompted this change? Was it directly related to getting that job that you have now?
No, I didn't even, this job wasn't even on the radar. I just moved down here because that magazine group was based here and I thought I could, and I know Miami has a, it's one of the top rated cities for freelancers. Okay. There's a lot of freelancers down there. And there's just more going on. Like I said, my hometown is really charming, but it kind of centers more towards the medicine, law, those sorts of industries. So there wasn't a whole lot of expansion and growth I could do as a creative there. And, yeah, just coming back from the States, like transitioning from living in big cities to going to a small beach town is a bit of a jump. So I came down where, like, Fort Lauderdale is, it's got a walkability that Florida cities often lack. Like, I live right downtown. I can walk pretty much everywhere on the weekends if I wanted to. I don't have to move my car.
Nice.
So that was a huge, that was a huge selling point for me. So, moved down here. I was like, okay, let's try to shake things up. Because I'm a big fan of, like, if you're starting to feel stagnant, don't be afraid to take a leap and just, like, really shake things up. Because you never know, like, what kind of energies or whatever you're going to stir loose and get on the right path. And it was because of getting the rent that I started looking for either part-time or full-time jobs that I could just have a steady paycheck while I was trying to do my stuff on the side as well. And and stumbled across this job, and it was in Miami. So I was like, oh, I don't really want to drive to Miami every day. I'm not going to apply. And then another job with a Fort Lauderdale magazine here for an assistant editor position. That one fell through. So I was like, oh, I guess I'll go back and apply for that travel one. And and I was like, wow, this worked out way better.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So that's really how it, again, I always seem to like back into these things rather than have any sort of plan. And I guess I have a guardian angel that's really busy. But
So now you've got this day job that has really worked out well for you so far and that sort of fell into your lap, like you said. So how do you see your freelance career and your blogging progressing from here on out now that you've got this day job also taking up a huge chunk of your time?
Yes, huge chunk of time. They're kind of blended. I haven't posted on my blog in a while. I have plans to get back into it. I might do like a redesign and relaunch and redirection because I have to be a lot more intentional with my boundaries and energy. Like, yes, I could answer emails all night for work because it'd be easy to. There's always stuff going on. But this is my time and my creative time. And now that I'm not traveling so much, like I have more of the routine. It's like, well, how am I going to approach that in a, where am I going to find the inspiration to find material to post? Because I'm not going to be posting like top 10 places in Mallorca if I'm sitting in Fort Lauderdale. So,
You're not?
Yeah. Unless I'm there for work. But like my company is like, we're working on getting a blogging section going. And so I'll be able to start infusing the two of them together. And so they're kind of, and because our interests and audiences are very similar, then I think it kind of the feeds off each other. So, and I probably could start posting more from the industry insider's perspective of how things work, like what's going on. It's just, it's like a muscle. Like now that I haven't posted in a while, I'm like, oh, what am I going to, what's my first post going to be and how do I start it? And it is, it does like the ability to just like write a post in, you know, 500 words in a half an hour, it atrophies. So,
yes.
Like, all right, we're going to have to start practicing this again. But I do miss it. Like I love the writing and I love being able to just like get something out there and then, connect with people. Like you meet really amazing people when you when you put content out there and you don't have geography as a barrier on who you're gonna have things in common with.
Absolutely. Speaking of community, so you run this really great Instagram community using the hashtag Global Creator. So how did you start that? How did that get started? And what have you learned from trying to really nurture a community in such a way?
Yeah, Global Creator started because Creatrice Mondiale is just too hard for everyone to pronounce and remember. But funny enough, that's what it translates to. So, and that wasn't intentional either. Oh. but just again, lucked out on the name of the blog. But part of that was because I didn't want all the pressure of creating all the mm-hmm. content, because photography is not, it's like something that I enjoy the idea of, but I'm not, it's not my first skill. I'm the writer, and just being able to connect people, I really enjoyed that. And it probably goes for why I was really interested in curating an online shop. It's like curating content so that people can connect, and it can create, like, it can be using social media for the best reasons that it was mm-hmm. created. Like now everybody's on, everybody talks about the private groups on Facebook mm-hmm. because that's where you can have real interaction. And I feel like the hashtags, like, yeah, of course you share your photo, you get some exposure. But I think I've seen people that have used the Global Creator hashtag, and then they're following each mm-hmm. other now, and I see them liking each other's posts. And I think it's just a really great way to say, hey, here's our little party over here, and everybody's invited, and you might meet some really cool people that you have stuff in common with that you might not otherwise. So that was kind of my intention behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it really highlights the social part of the social media, where it's really like bringing people together instead of just being another place for you to like shout into the void about, oh, hey, I'm doing right. this thing. Like, it really is more focused on that genuine connection with people who are interested in similar things.
Yes. Yes. And now that you mention that, like, I kind of don't use Twitter anymore because I can't keep up with all of them. But there was the Twitter chat. So it was the thing I yes. enjoyed most about Twitter, because it's the smaller communities where you, like, I've met people mm-hmm. all over the world that if I'm traveling in those areas, and I have, like, when I've traveled, I have met up with people that I've mm-hmm. met on social media. Now I don't even remember how, like, if it was Instagram or Twitter or whatever it was, mm-hmm. but and then you become Facebook official, and then you know you're actually friends.
Yes.
I always love that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had ever met up with people that you met through blogging or through social media, yes. because we sometimes talk about doing like a Twitter road trip where we just want to like take a couple weeks and like drive around and see all the people we like hang out with on Twitter and meet them in person.
I think that infuses something that's getting lost in the digital age, because you see everybody walking around on their phones, like everybody's driving in the express lanes on their phones, but nobody's like, when I go to Starbucks in the morning, like, and I'm guilty of it too, because that's when I catch up on Instagram, but everybody's waiting for their coffee. There's probably like 10 people, and every single one of them will be staring at their phone. It's like, when are you going to actually say hi to somebody? And kind of, so I think I love social media for connecting people. Then I think it's even better when you take those connections offline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are really digging that.
Yeah, I agree. I would say that I've met, you know, some of my quote unquote best friends on social media. And just because of, you know, where I grew up, like you said, a small town, there weren't a lot of people like me. And so just being able to like mm-hmm. open up my community to the internet and be able to meet other people who love to read and to write and to take pictures and all of those kinds of things, and have them essentially be like in your house with you, is amazing. But it's even sweeter then when you get to like take that offline and go meet them in person and see what like they really, you know, interact with you behind the scenes, I guess.
Yeah, for example, like when I was in Morocco, I was in Morocco for work in November for a conference in Marrakesh, and there's a blogger that's Moroccan-based, Mandy in Morocco is her Instagram handle, and I never met her before, like we don't interact that much, but we've been following each other for a long time, and we just met up for drinks. She's lived mm-hmm. there, like it was just really cool to have a local, like, show me a side of town that I probably wouldn't have ventured to, because I wouldn't have even known it was there,
mm-hmm.
and then on my way back, I stayed the night in London with another blogging friend that I met, and I stayed at her place, and then a couple weeks later, she came and stayed at mine. She was coming to the States around the holidays and spent a week in Fort Lauderdale with me, and so, yeah, it's definitely, like, social media is where you meet, and then you can create mm-hmm. real friendships out of it, and I think, again, when you're open to it and you're not just out there for the numbers, then you can really find that connection. Find your tribe, as they call it.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. So
just one more point towards not focusing only on the numbers when it comes to social media, as we can all get too sucked into.
We can.
Oh, it's so easy to.
So what is your next trip on the horizon?
Well, I'm going to Chicago this weekend.
Okay, you'll be in our neck of the woods.
Nice.
Yes, sister's bachelorette.
Ooh,
and then all her bridesmaids. Yes, and all her bridesmaids are travelers as well. So it's just everybody's getting together just for a quick weekend. And then it'll be Alabama for her wedding to kind of the family hometown in the eastern coastal Alabama. And after that, yeah, I've got some friends from Australia that are coming to the States. So I'm trying to see if I can meet them somewhere. Mm-hmm. And things just kind of pop up. I've signed up for a half marathon in wine country in like northern Sonoma. Yes, I have till the end of October to be able to hopefully run the whole thing. I've done this before with them, and I actually blogged my whole experience about it. It was my race to wine country with Destination Races, and they do wine country half marathons mm-hmm. all around North America, and they are so much
fun.
I
imagine.
So this time I've wrote my sister in and a couple of my girlfriends here, and yeah, it's just going to be a great time. And I gave myself like plenty of time to train, because that is the one disadvantage of like when you have a computer-based job. It's like you're sitting all day.
Yeah.
So this is true. That was my like 2016. I'm going to get moving again. And it's great. Yeah,
I know. I got a standing desk for my day job this year, and that's kind of life-changing. Like at least when I hit that afternoon slump. When I'm just like, oh, I just ate lunch and now I want to take a nap, I just like push the standing desk up and I'm like, nope, no napping for you, and give it to work.
Nope. They have the conversion kits. I'm going to get that for my office. So you can, because we just have big long tables. My office is really cool. It's just like a big open studio space. Mm-hmm. It's more like a warehouse, and we play music, and it's like, it's just more, yeah, it reminds me of a creative studio, not a corporate office.
Yeah.
But we have tables, and I think I can put a standing desk on top of it to at least use some of the time.
Yeah.
Just makes,
and that's
a
what
big
mine
difference.
Is too, is it just is like this really heavy thing that sits on top of my already in place desk. And then it has like a little big fancy word, some kind of actuator that makes it go up and down when you like turn the knob. So if I can find a link, maybe I'll send it to you.
Yeah, do so. I'm in the market.
Oh, now I'm feeling all like out of the loop. I used to think it would be cool to have one of those treadmill desks where you have to like walk as you type or else you fall
off
the treadmill.
That would be cool. That would
really
be cool.
Really good motivation. Unless you're klutzy.
It's life hacking. Yeah.
Which I am. Yeah. But, you know, I'd set it on a pretty low speed. I would set that bar low.
Yeah, anything's better than nothing, you know, even just getting up. I actually I have one of those stick massager things, and it's sitting at my desk so that if I'm taking a break, I can, like, stick my quads or my calves and my ankles to get real tight and just try to stay on top of things. And, again, it's not that I'm in an office, because if I wasn't at that office, I'd be sitting in a coffee shop working for computer-based business models. So, again, when you're location independent, it's like, the reality is, like, you're still sitting at a computer. You might be sitting at the beach, but the glare is so bright on your screen that you can't see anything. Like, I still am inside somewhere working.
All these ergonomic problems.
Yes.
Reality. It's called adulting.
Yes.
I know. I always just try to use, like, the restroom at the farthest end of the office from me and, like, those little kinds of things just to build an extra couple of standing, walking minutes into my day.
Yes.
I've read all those like death by sitting articles, and I'm a little terrified of what's to come in 30 years.
Yes. Well, and I think it gets those creative juices flowing again, because, you know, I'm sure you guys probably bounce around at different locations of whatever kind of feels like your working space that day.
Yeah.
And getting up, walking around, getting things moving, getting the blood flowing definitely can help you with a mid-afternoon slump, or if you're sitting there staring at the cursor or whatever design, just trying to get started, it can make a big difference just to kind of refresh the mind.
That
was very
change
true.
In scenery.
Yeah, taking that afternoon walk makes all the difference sometimes.
Indeed.
So at the end of our episodes, we usually do a little mini book club, because we are both pretty big readers. And so we would love to hear if you have any books that you've either read lately that you've really enjoyed, or books that have particularly inspired your creativity, whatever you want to talk about.
I wrote down a few titles that I would call them like my Bibles, so to speak. But one's The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, just because that unlocked so many, like, this was in my Uber experimentation. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life phase. But it was like comforting, because, you know, I feel like maybe in modern society, like you go through college, you're expected to get a job, you're expected to follow mm-hmm. this path. And when you are on a non-traditional one and people don't understand it, then it's very easy to get caught up in like, well, maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Yes.
So, yeah. And it's not that we're doing it wrong. It's just the times have changed so fast and maybe people don't understand, or they come from different priorities, different, you know, wants, needs, wishes, all of that. So that book was really good at just getting out of your own head and being like, it's not just me. But, and I like her writing. Like, she's just so entertaining.
She is.
And,
it's like, it's self-help, but it's also comical. She has a great way of writing. She just does.
It's like you're having coffee with her and she's just like chatting.
I have never heard anyone say anything bad about her. Like, everybody who ever talks about Brené Brown is like, she changed my life for the better. Like, I've never heard anybody dislike her or one of her books. So I haven't actually read any of her books, but I have Rising Strong sitting on my bedroom floor, and it's been there for like 3 weeks because I bought it. I saw it on NCAP at the bookstore. I was like, I should buy that. I need to read one of her books, and I just haven't read it yet. But Gifts of Imperfection is definitely on my list as well.
Yeah. I think things find you when you need them. And like, you know,
agree.
And the other two that I've been reading, I read Essentialism, which talks about, this is where I get the whole concept of trade-offs are, because with, like, I have to be very careful with my time now. And really by time, I mean energy, because I only have so much of it. Mm-hmm. And I know X amount of hours is getting taken up by work, full-time work. So, and I do think like part of being a traveler is that you can minimalize things. Like, I'm not a big shopper because it's too heavy to carry all those clothes around with you. You're not going to do it. So I was just curious about that. And then I found The Urban Monk by Pedram Shojai. I don't know.
Close enough for us.
Yeah. And that one, I on the last chapter, but that one I really liked because it taps into kind of like the spiritual like things, a bit of the Zen meditation, all of that, the benefits. But he talks about it with like an urban twist, and he'll give you like the Eastern practices, but then he'll give you like the modern real world hacks to kind of infuse these principles into your life. And he cusses in the book, which I think is fabulous, and like it's still relatable.
Yeah, well, and bringing it into the modern world is so much better, because everyone would love to think that they could do like a week-long meditation retreat and they'd be 100% calm and zen and wonderful, but that's not real life. Like, as soon as you get back to real life, you're going to be immersed in the busy and the deadlines and, you know, the waiting in line and all those kinds of things. And so you need to be able to like incorporate it into actual real life.
Absolutely. And it's balance. Like, I'm a Libra, so I think from the chaos of the day and the busyness and everything that's going on, because work, we have so many exciting projects going on all the time. And then, like, to kind of cultivate a bit more peace at home and find out how to keep that balance. Because that's how I know that's how I function best. That's the same when I traveled. Like, I was never on the road constantly. I had a home base, and I would do weekends or a week away. So I wasn't that backpacker lifestyle, because I know that I'm that's not me. So, and just identifying that and being okay with, like, what works for you. And then, creating practices that support that.
Yeah, and we are big fans of essentialism over here, too. We talk about that, not quite every episode, but we talk about it fairly often, because we're always like, if you want to do the creative work, something else in your life is probably going to have to go.
Yes.
Because there's just, you only have so much time.
Yes, it's true. And so much energy to do things well. It goes back to like books like The Pumpkin Plan or some of those business books. I've read them all. Like, I'm a big sponge for all these things. But you focus on something and then really plant the seeds there. And like, you're going to have to maybe not hit so many happy hours or whatever it may be that you're going to need to give up and to get your ultimate goal going. Not that you have to like swear off, you know, wine for the rest of your life or anything like that, but you might want to like temper it if you're trying to do stuff in the morning, you know, things like that. Balance. And then I read historical fiction for my like escape. Like, I just want a good story.
Oh no, that's great. We're fans as well.
Perfect.
Any like must read historical fiction novels on your list?
Or I love all the Sharon K. Penman ones, specifically specifically the ones that deal with medieval England and like Eleanor of Aquitaine and that, the whole Plantagenet line. They're like 800 pages each. I think there's like five of them, and I was like so upset when they ended. I was like, no, like, you can't write like reality better than that. Like, it just doesn't exist. So, yeah. And it actually happened, and it's fascinating just to see like peeks into these like super colorful characters and all these things that happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I've just always had this real affinity for English history, so mm-hmm. I tend to
And what I always love about historical fiction is that I feel like I'm learning while I'm like escapist reading. Like right. You get so drawn into the plot, but most historical fiction writers take their facts very, very seriously and like definitely do their research. So I feel like I'm like smarter for reading those books.
Yes, definitely.
I totally agree. Have you read any good historical fiction lately, Ashley?
Not really. The last one that I haven't read any super recently. I've been sort of into YA novels lately. But I remember being in high school and I was super, it's probably like very stereotypical, but I was like that high school girl who was super into the Other Boleyn Girl books.
Speaking Philippa Gregory. Of like
So speaking of like the old English, like, you know, kingships and all that stuff, like that was my series that I was super super into. Yes. And that was really the first historical fiction I think I really enjoyed. And then later on I got more into like World War II historical fiction and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. And now that we're talking about it, I'm like, yeah, I should hop on that train again. It has been way too long since I've read a good historical fiction book.
Yeah, you kind of bounce. Like sometimes I would read a lot of historical fiction. Like, okay, I got to balance this out with like a truly lighthearted novel. That, you know,
yes.
Because some of them can get really deep, which is fascinating, but they're not, you're putting in some effort to like, especially the French ones. You're like, the Duke of what? There's a million of them. Yeah. So trying to keep up with titles and all the characters as they change names like constantly. But it's fun. And like my sister's really into it, and my mom mm-hmm. and my aunt. So we kind of share books, and it's kind of a fun thing that we all do.
Well, excellent. No, Ashley, you've been on a YA kick. Did you ever read historical, like YA, like the Anne Rinaldi books?
No, I have never heard of her. Should I have heard of her?
She must tell me. Great. I mean, they were the kind of books that I read in like junior high and high school. They were historical fiction, but they were like in the junior high library. Okay. And they were about like teenagers in, you know, revolutionary America and Civil War America and things like that. Okay. So I loved those books. I want to say one of them was like No Time for Drums. Don't quote me on that, though. I need to Google that. They were just good.
There was a series I read somewhat recently, and I'm really into series because it means that I don't have to decide what I'm going to read next. I just keep going with the series.
Yes.
There's one like The Hangman's Daughter. There's the Borgia ones with the poisoners. That was really fascinating about Renaissance Italy. Then there was one where I want to say it was like the same author that wrote the Sookie Stackhouse novels. I think it's that author, but it's one about a girl who solves murder mysteries because she can, if she's in the vicinity of the body, like she can see what happened. Like it's some like paranormal thing, but like the characters are really cool and like it's not like super gory or gritty, but just interesting.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. It sounds like sort of a twist on what you would normally get. Like, yes. That sounds really intriguing, actually.
I will have to look that up. And because I have, that's the other great thing about having the iPad and everything's on Kindle. I was like, what was that? Oh, yes. I just go scroll through.
Yeah. So.
It's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. I read every night. Like, that's probably why also, like, I got into writing. Like, I remember when I was in elementary school, my best friend then and I would get together and we would play, but we'd also just like sit around and read. So
that's all I wanted to do in elementary school. Like, let's read, guys. And my friends were like, you are so odd.
Like, no, now I can write and I'm intelligent. But yeah, I think it did help. Like, when you're such an avid reader when you're young, like writing now, it's like, of course you know how the sentences go together. Like, you've been reading in that way for your entire life, so like you just know it comes more naturally, I think. And I still, like, that is my thing. Every single night I read a chapter of something before I go to sleep. That's just my transition kind of ritual. So
it's a fantastic habit to be in.
Yeah. It's a good, like, get, and probably you're still on your devices because I'm reading on an iPad. But, you know, I have bought a few hardcover books. Yeah, I can be a traditionalist. And I can tell a difference when I'm reading those versus when I'm reading on the screen.
Yeah.
I know my trick for reading on the iPad is that I just put it in airplane mode.
Oh, that's a good idea.
A, your battery lasts longer. And B, you don't get any stupid notifications to interrupt you from your book.
Yes.
That is a good point.
I think it has a night setting, too, where you can, like, inverse so the page isn't so bright.
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to have the Kindle, and it didn't have that backlit screen.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was a little easier on the eyes and easier to read if you're at the beach or outside in the sun. But, you know, first world problems. So
this is very true. But it's definitely appealing to have ebooks or audiobooks when you're traveling around all the time. That is, there's no denying that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember the days of lugging books around in suitcases, and that I would always put them in the carry-on because that was before the days when they were smart enough to, they didn't ever weigh the carry-ons. So I would try as hard as I could to like lug my super heavy book bag as effortlessly as possible so nobody would stop me.
Yeah.
They'd be like 25 pounds. They were so heavy. But
that's perfect.
Well, you didn't want to run out of reading material.
I know. And yeah, I just didn't want to pay the baggage fees. And, you know, so.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes sense to me.
It's all these tricks of the trade, and now it all changes. But
well, before we get going, do you want to tell everybody where they can find you around online at your website, your portfolio, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so my blog site is creatricemondiale.com. It's CreatriceMondiale. So for those that don't know how to pronounce it, that's...
we'll link to it in the show notes as well, so...
My portfolio is at amylynnhaze.com, L-Y-N-N-E. My Instagram is at creatricemondiale, and then Twitter, when I'm on there, is at creatricemond. I am on there sometimes checking things out, but yeah, Instagram is really the best place to find me. The hashtag global creator.
Excellent.
Well, people will for sure have to check that out because that is a pretty awesome community you've got going there on Instagram. So
thank you. Well,
thank you so much for chatting with us about, like, I have never been location independent. I mean, I could be, but I've never done like all that much traveling around. So this was a really interesting conversation. Thank you for sharing with us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you, Amy. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Creeps or at Brooks Editorial or by using the hashtag Chasing Creative on Twitter and Instagram.
If there's a guest you'd love to hear from on the podcast or if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.